and welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name's Kevin Appleby. So we have a lady from Kansas City in the United States today, Graham, talking to us about helping independent women build wealth and create more life options.
We do, Kevin. And I am really looking forward to this because, well, first of all, I'm not a woman. And, you know, and I'm, and therefore she'd probably pass me on to somebody who deals with men. But she focuses on financial advice for women. And I wonder why. But let's save that as our first question. But Lisa Clements, welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm not surprised because we're a big show, and in you know, I mean, we're known by lots of people in Kansas.
Absolutely, absolutely. I've been telling all my friends about it.
Thank you.
Our listener is really waiting to hear from you, Lisa.
Yeah, well, I think they are. I mean, especially the lady listeners, and you focus on women, but you've got a particular reason for doing so.
I do. I do. I spent the first 24 years of my adult life building my career and building my own seven-figure investment portfolio through hard work and discipline and time, and I have always done it independently. And I never quite found a financial advisor that I felt I really clicked with. I feel like being in, whether it's a single season of life or being single indefinitely, I think it's really difficult to make all those decisions independently, to second guess yourself, to when I would get ready for a big purchase, you know, should I buy a house? Should I just rent? Is it time for a new car? Should I lease a car? Should I buy a car? Should I, you know, those decisions, it's so often that along the way, I wish I had someone I could have bounced ideas off of, weighed the pros and cons with. And there are things that I wish I would have done differently had I had guidance along the way. So that's my goal, is to transform the journey for single women so they go from feeling alone and overwhelmed and unsure to feeling secure and confident and clear on what's ahead of them.
Are you more of a friend rather than a financial advisor?
I would say friendship, let's see. Yes, probably more of a friend, but yet a friend who has your best interest at heart and is not afraid to tell you the truth.
Which is a friend, but I do take the point. But I yeah, I mean, that's a good friend, isn't it? So basically, being that good friend, but also being aware of financial options, as you say, whether that's a car or a house or an investment, that puts you under a wee bit of pressure there, doesn't it? Because ultimately you're going to be judged by that decision, certainly in your friend's eyes.
Yes. Absolutely. So it is something I take very seriously. And my approach is really to present the options and the potential outcomes, but ultimately leave it up to my client.
Yeah.
You know, okay. And they might often say, well, what would you do? Oh, I'll happily share. Here's what I would do. But ultimately, yeah, it's your decision. And, you know, here are the things to consider along the way.
So you shall we say, you'll, I've seen the pictures on your website and they're brilliant. You're always drinking tea, or it might be coffee, but I think it's tea, and you're always smiling. So the photographer's turned up at exactly the moment you're smiling, or maybe that was staged. I don't know. But the point is that, that's the beauty. You it looks like you're having a really good conversation, and they're really connecting with you. So I can see immediately, Kevin, I don't know about you, but Lisa connects with people. I think financial and all that kind of stuff, that's really interesting. But as a person, you come across in a really, I can see how you could become somebody's best mate, quite easily, but also one that's that can be trusted. Look at all those books behind you and learning resources. You're obviously well read and all that, but I think there's a certain humility and authenticity about you.
Thank you so much. That is the best compliment I could ever get. So I really
You're not going to get another one. I mean, that's
I'll take it. I will store it, and then that's all the compliments for today.
I've topped out for today, but it's not serious. I genuinely get that feeling. So anybody listening to this, go back to the beginning and listen to it. She is very relatable, Kevin.
Absolutely relatable. But Lisa, are you what we would call in the UK a financial advisor that's going to be registered with all the authorities and passed all the exams and things like that? Or are you effectively a coach helping these ladies make better decisions?
I decided to go the route of registration, exams. They have an exam here called the Series 65, which you study for. I studied about 6 months for it independently and took the exam, passed it, registered with the state of Kansas. I then continued to get a sports and entertainment accredited wealth management advisor certification and a certified retirement counselor certification. So it's really important to me that I am giving quality advice, and I am a learner. Like you alluded to the books, I love learning. Like that is, I will keep adding certifications as time goes on, just because I enjoy the process, number one, and number two, I want to make sure that I'm giving you the best advice possible.
You mentioned sports and so forth, and you're only a hop, skip, and a jump away from the Kansas City Chiefs. So are they all your clients then?
So, gosh, I wish they were, Graham.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That'll help the
Yeah,
assets
not a
under
lot of
management.
single women there.
No. Oh, well, of course. Sorry. Yeah. Well, but they're wives and partners, and they're what they call wags, Kevin, isn't it? Wives
Yeah,
and girlfriends.
exactly. Yes.
Yeah, well, okay, fair enough. Sorry, yeah, I mixed up your audience there because they're all blokes, aren't
No, that's,
they?
I totally believe me. I do not rule out working with men. In fact, I have a few married couples that I work with as well. So it's hard because people say, well, what? You're not going to work with a man? How come you're only targeting women? And I say, no, I work with everybody. But when it comes to like, how do you go to market? How do you present yourself? What's your niche? I think that's where I felt like I need to niche down to a core group that I really feel passionately about. But you're right. I would work with the Kansas City Chiefs in a heartbeat.
Well, that's a
But
good.
there's something there about knowing who your ideal client is as well, isn't there? And going out of your way to attract the ideal client.
Absolutely.
So
Exactly.
how do you do that? How do you magnetize people towards you?
Well, the first thing I did was I reached out to all the single executive single women I was aware of when, this was over 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. And I asked them for just informational interviews. So my first goal was to create a white paper. That was my own personal deliverable, if you will. And be able to understand how they described their financial lives, what their hesitations and concerns were in their words. And then harvest that information to then design marketing strategy that speaks directly to women using the words that they use. I could say, well, I felt this way and I felt this way, but I wanted to validate that my experience wasn't unique. And thankfully, well, thankfully and not thankfully, I guess, it was not unique. And so then I designed a marketing strategy, and gosh, that's been the hardest part about starting a business. I think people go into business thinking, oh, I'm passionate about financial advice and investing and stock trading, and that's what I'm going to do. No, you're really not going to do that for the first 2 years. The first few years, you're really going to be a marketer, Lisa. That's what you're going to be. So I had a lot of learnings along the way. It's been a challenging road because there's the traditional financial advisor that sends out the paper postcards, come join us for a steak dinner, or that are talking about the best and newest mutual fund or exchange traded fund. And that's not going to speak to my target audience. So for me, it's all about why would they hire me? I'm hoping it's because I'm relatable, that I will get them. I understand what they're going through. So I have to share a bit of my own experiences and who I am, and show that I get what they're going through.
You could have, instead of a steak dinner, you could have like a hummus and lettuce dinner. You know, they'd be queuing up at the door. I mean, yeah, I'll have that. And
I
then
know a
that's
lot of women who prefer steak.
you are in the Midwest, aren't you? Let's face it.
Exactly.
There was a reason, Lisa, why I asked that question earlier about your qualification and how you're approaching this. Because as I was looking through your website, I was picking up an unusual angle in there that it didn't feel like your normal financial advisor. The website comes over about being more educational than advisory.
Ah, do you think that's a risk?
No, I think it's something that's putting you in a unique place. I think it's very interesting.
Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
I as a marketer, I would agree. I think Kevin is a finance guy, but he's like Dr. Jekyll and, Dr. Hyde or whatever it is, and he's a bit of both, really. He's got a marketing instinct. I like to think of it as because of me, but basically he does have that marketing instinct. And I loved what you said earlier about using the informational meetings that you had, using their words. Goodness me, you're so far ahead of others. Just thinking that through, just thinking of that as a marketing strategy. Because ultimately you're not your audience. Your audience is your audience. And I really like the fact that you have niched down to a particular set of people, executives, women. I'm going to look at them and I'm saying they're going to be somewhere between, I'm going to say 40 and 65. And I'm guessing that they probably are living within a, not exactly a nine iron, but basically maybe 100 mile radius of Kansas. And beyond that, maybe you'll take them on. Maybe you don't need to. I don't know what the population of Kansas is, but it's probably, I don't know, millions, isn't it? So and how many executive women are women of that type are likely to be in that area? Huge numbers, and you're speaking directly to them when most people are blasting at the walls. And I think it's a really smart niche strategy that you're following. And the more helpful you can be up front, the better, because you want relationships. So and actually, and because ultimately, isn't that what a financial relationship is? It's all about relationships. That's why we led with the fact that you're very friendly and you're very relatable.
So,
Thank
Lisa.
you. It is about the connection, and money is so personal. Everyone has such, and we're raised so differently, and very rarely is it talked about a lot in your family of origin, and it's very rarely talked about in the first 12 years of schooling, let alone advanced degrees and university and all of that. So I do think it's super critical that you feel that connection with your financial advisor, because you need to be able to say, no, it's not important to me to spend on this, but it is important to me to spend on the other thing.
Your plan, I guess, is that you are you just going to get bigger, or is your plan to stay And I mean this in a really nice way, but a homely business, or is your plan to be conglomerate business? Is which where are you going to go?
My goal is to be a what we call a boutique firm.
Yeah, you've got a
And
boutique customer there by the look of it. It's
I'm so I'm
a
so
dog. A
sorry.
dog has just entered the scene. It's usually Kevin Appleby that does that. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with you. Have you got a dog there?
The Labrador pup is asleep on my feet.
Never walk.
Oh, that's normally where this little guy is,
Oh,
but
right. He
he
wants to be at home.
evidently must know that we're recording, and these doodles are big into attention and visibility.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're going to be more of a smaller contained business, but one that you're happy with. Yeah.
Yes, my goal is to do. I figured it out as far as my cost model. I'd like to stay right around 50 clients, 50 households. I don't have any desire to be the next massive financial planning firm. This is my second career. I'm 51 years old. I'd like to work another 15 or 20 years. And I want to do something that is meaningful. And I don't see myself now. Who knows? God may have different plans in store, but I don't see myself growing to be this behemoth agency with multiple planners and paraplanners and admin and client service people. And I think that just makes the offering more expensive over time. And I think a lot of people get super excited about scaling and really, yeah, that, oh gosh, I can get into that. I understand that. Yeah, the idea of running a big multi-million dollar financial planning firm appeals to the ego side of me. But when I really step back and think about what's important to me, a boutique, I want 50 incredible clients that I just look forward to getting on the phone with, and they will feel, I'm hoping they'll feel that personalized service and be able to benefit from a what shall I say? A cost structure that isn't as expensive as what's available out there in the market in general.
So, Lisa, you've been going this, you said, three and a half years.
Yes.
Tell me about the Lisa 4 years ago. What was it that kind of the first career ends, the second career starts? Tell me what happened in there.
I had been living in Menlo Park, California. I worked for Meta, Facebook, and in a senior director role, managing a global team. But my family was back in Kansas City, and I love the company. I can't say enough good things about the organization and what I learned there. The type of work we did, really exciting, but also very intense and very far away from my parents and siblings. I had to sit back and say, all right, you can continue on this path. You can continue in Silicon Valley and build up wealth for yourself. And meanwhile, I have six nieces and nephews back in Kansas City who are having their first plays, their band concerts, their basketball games, their football games, they're all these things. And Aunt Lisa isn't there for any of them. Aunt Lisa comes home for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and oh, you can give great gifts and they love that. But where's the relationship? Where's the presence? Where's the, there's another adult in my life who genuinely cares for me and shows up for me time and time again. And I had to make a decision based on my own values of, I really want to get back closer to home. I want to be in Kansas City. At the time, there weren't virtual roles available. And so I made the decision to leave, had great conversations with my boss about it. She was very supportive. And came back to Kansas City and thankfully was in a position where financially I could take some time off and recalibrate. And so I went on a basically mini sabbatical. I got my coaching certification. I, of course, learned, take time to learn more, in the downtime, and thought maybe I'm going to start a coaching company. How can I give back? What would that look like? Well, and another opportunity came up that my Facebook boss actually connected me with, and it was a company in New York named Bark, and they needed a chief people officer, and the company was all about dogs, and I'm a dog lover, as you can tell. And I thought, oh gosh, I don't want to leave Kansas City. I don't know, but this company, this opportunity. Oh, so of course I explored it, and I ended up going to Manhattan, living in not a couple blocks from Union Square in Manhattan, and worked for Bark. And that was a phenomenal opportunity. I kept my house here in Kansas and just came back every 6 weeks or so. So I thought, okay, maybe I can make this work. Live in Kansas, travel back to Kansas, live in New York, travel back. And it ended up not being a best fit for me with the organization. The CEO, fantastic guy. But I was brought in, I think, to under the understanding that I came from big companies, Accenture, Cerner, Meta, and to bring processes, but I don't know that the company was ready for repeatable processes at that time. And so he and I had a heart to heart, and ironically, it was right in March of 2020, COVID, and I had a moving truck outside my apartment in New York the day before they shut New York down.
Oh, good for you. Oh.
So the timing, you talk to my mom, she'll say, oh, that was a miracle. That was God had his hand all over that. And I go, yeah, I think so. Depending on how you look at fate and God's hand in our lives, it was fortuitous because I got home. I again had about 6 months where I was thinking through what I was going to do. And it was a conversation with my girlfriends on New Year's Eve. And we were talking about what do I do? Do I start back up a coaching business? Do I? And I had just finished a about a 3 month stretch of teaching myself how to trade options. It
Okay.
was a former fighter pilot from the Navy had an options trading group online, and I took $20,000. And I said, okay, I could go to a fancy school and for much, much more than that, $100,000 a year, get a MBA. Or I could just dig in, get out my notebook and start doing it and earmark this money as my educational funds. And I did it. It was whew, a real learning process. I found some great things that really worked. I found some horrible things that do not work. And I was like talking about that with my girlfriends, and they were like, you love trading. You love the stock market. Why don't you help single women like us with that? And it was really that conversation that started me on a whole new direction.
And
So, Kevin,
that's
I'm sorry, that was a long answer to what I was
no, it's
purposely saying.
actually Kevin, I don't know if you know that, but I was timing it. I have this watch and I was timing it. It's the longest answer to a question that we've ever had on the podcast. So actually I think you deserve a medal. But it this the girlfriend or the girlfriends who basically suggested you should help others with this. What's the wine involved?
Was there wine involved?
Of
Course, there was wine
Did
involved.
you have a camera in my living room? Yes, absolutely. There was
Okay.
wine involved.
All right. So wait, but at that moment, I'm sorry to cut across Kevin, but at that moment, your life changed, yeah?
Definitely. Definitely. And it was one of those things where New Year's Day, I was researching, all right, if I'm going to do this, what does this look like? What certifications? What exams? What? And so that was January. I requested all the materials I needed to study. I think it was the first or second week, and then I sat for the exam in June.
Wow, that's impressive. Because I mean, obviously, you've worked in large corporates, Kevin. I've done a bit of myself, and but and then you go and chase another doggy dream, and then basically you reality hits, and thank goodness, and your mum would have been happy, and your family would have been happy, and all of a sudden, you've got this place for you to grow again. You just don't stop because you're continually learning. You've got this now, this financial business for single women. Is your We've had people, other people on this podcast where they've helped on their helping other people with finances, and particularly from a female point of view. What is it that they get most from you? Is it a complete look at their situation, or do you not push them, but do they want you to help them with, say, investing in the stock market or options or whatever it is? What is there a particular angle that they say, come on, Lisa, that's why I want you to look after me. I want to dabble in this. I want to have a little bit of fun money. Or is it a more stable, I'll look after you for the rest of your natural. I mean, what is it that you, what's your thing with your client?
My thing is looking at the whole picture. So, the few financial advisors I did work with in the past were very much money managers. And I think the term financial advisor is often misconstrued to be investment manager, or that all you do is manage, here's my 401k, here are my IRAs. Or pension money, it's, and they charge 1% to oversee the money. And what I learned and really felt like more people could benefit from is that holistic tax planning, estate planning. Do you have a trust or a will? What's the best way to pass on inheritance or establish legacy? Risk management. There are a lot of financial advisors that represent insurance companies. And so they strangely always end up recommending a life insurance policy or always, a universal life or different types of insurance policies. I don't sell any product. I work with wholesalers. And if we look at your situation and say something like, gosh, Kevin, you're always hosting parties at your house, and it would really be good not only for you to have the homeowner's insurance, but also an umbrella policy that gives you more coverage in the event of an accident while people are at your home. And so then you say, God, yeah, I guess. I don't know. How much is that? And I'd say, well, it could be from, this much to this much, but let me go price it for you. And so it's, something that is risk related, insurance related, that you might not have thought of if we were just talking about your future retirement income. Some women I talk to want to improve their budgeting. And so I'm a fan of flow-based budgeting, or what I call creating a spending plan. So it's all about how we frame it, right? It's not a budget. It's a spending. We're going to be spending money. Yeah, that's all good. and here's how we're going to intentionally spend it. So it could be budgeting, risk management, estate, tax, and oftentimes does include the retirement planning. But I also have software where I can create a trust for a client for under $1,000. Which most people, when they think, oh, setting up a trust, it's going to cost $3,000 with an attorney. And no, there are simpler ways to do that now. So it is holistic, and a lot of my role is to educate potential clients about, it actually can include all of this, because that's how we really get synergies going, is when we're looking at your tax planning and we decide what kind of money you're going to save now.
And it's interesting, as you related back to Meta, Facebook, and then Bark, you mentioned on, I think, about three different occasions, Lisa, oh, should I start a coaching business? There's something in your DNA about you want to coach and educate people. And I really think that that's what makes what I'm seeing on your website describing the business that you're running now really different. There's something in your DNA that needs to educate people, that needs to coach people. It's not just selling them a policy for a commission.
Absolutely. I think ever since I was in high school, I got people together and led small groups. I did my college education in education. I thought I was going to be a high school teacher for a career. And so I guess that's never left me.
Kevin's usually incredibly astute, and he's probably hit the nail fairly squarely on the head there. But having said that, there's a passion that you've developed for, I don't want to, do you want to call it financial advice or whatever, your version of financial advice. And I think you've developed that, and there's so much more that you can do in that area. But Kevin's spotted this, not a fly in the ointment, but this sort of gap in your DNA that's basically going to be filled by coaching others. And I think it's quite natural. It is a natural sort of flow. Once you've built that brand of yours, I mean, crikey, you've worked with brands. Once you've built that brand, the extension that you're going to take that into is going to be helping a lot more people outside of the rel outside of Kansas. So you might still have 50, but there's another part to you. And it might be other people doing it for you that takes what Kevin talks about. I mean, you're going to be the figurehead potentially, but I don't know. I think there's something in that. What do you say?
I think that's fascinating. I gosh, if I had you guys for another 2 hours, I would love to just brainstorm with you and say, what could that look like? And
No.
because you're right, I mean, my heart is aligned to wanting to help other people. So what is the topic I can take to them? It could have been anything, but I tried to align to something that I was excited about and loved learning about and wanted to keep learning about, which is why it ended up with finance.
But
And so to
instead,
marry.
oh, sorry, Lisa, but to what I would say, the really, I mean, the marketer in me says 50 people. Well targeted, great website, smiley faces, women, executive women, don't really know that much about finance, very good in their own jobs, but finance, it's a husband's job. Sorry to have been on PC, but you know what I mean? It's somebody else's job, not mine, and or my dad's or whatever. But the point is, it's not, it's theirs. And somehow, outside of the sort of yellow brick road, I mean, you've got to be able to get out to. Sorry, that was in Kansas, wasn't it? Wasn't that a clever reference? Hey, you know, and well read me, you know.
That's right.
Sorry,
Give us pizza at some point.
the point I'm getting at is that you have a ready-made market that you can extend to in a fairly readily available way. You identify the same people you've got in your 50 out there in. And you know, I mean, heck, even if you went, no, you got a coast to coast. And, you know, how many people could you really help? I mean, that would be the question I'd be asking myself, or not immediately. Give yourself to the other side of Christmas. And I would say, you know, I mean, I would say, think it through and think, well, is this a possibility? And I think it would be for you. I really do, Kevin.
I get that. I mean, one of the things that I do, obviously with you, Graham, we record podcasts every week. I've got another podcast besides that. But in the world of finance leaders, CFOs, we're running webinars all the time. And I just wonder, Lisa, if there's something, if that educational side is such a passion, is the space to be going and doing that educational type event alongside the client base that you've got?
I think that is very possible. I think it's very possible. I have explored online webinars as a way to reach women. I am also trying to be coast to coast. Actually, I would say coast to coast by being a daily, pushing content on Instagram and TikTok and trying to reach a across the United States audience. I think my biggest challenge is figuring out where, how to best reach these women and what does the webinar need to be about to really get them to set time aside. It is it, I often struggle with the logistics of it all. I tried a webinar that was 30 minutes. How much do you need to retire? I will give you a number by the end of 30 minutes. I'll show you a formula we can use. And I thought, oh, that's great. A real tangible deliverable at the end of a 30-minute investment. And I didn't have a lot of people show up for it.
And
And I
you know,
thought, oh, I get it goes back to the marketing, maybe.
this is one of the really interesting things about the marketing world. You put webinars out to use as a marketing tool for your main business. And then it turns into how do I market the marketing event?
My view of that is it's that's something that you can get help with it. You can definitely do that. My other business is about marketing to high net worth individuals. So that's they're not everywhere, but in terms of the financial pyramid, most financial advisors want them. But the point is, it's that they're definable, and your audience is definable. And I would the only easy answer I would give you is you've already answered that question. Because when you started the financial advisory company, or whatever you call yourself, you did exactly what you should have done. You had a few informationally based conversations, and you asked them what they were kind of seeking. And if this, then that. And I think that's where you go. There is another way. I'm sorry to push something that I'm involved with, but I have another mid. Kind of somebody got a guy from Montana runs something called Mech Labs, and it's called a guy called Flint McLaughlin, and Flint has created something called Mech Labs AI, and within that you can create AI customer simulators, and by having something like like a chatbot, we don't call it that, but basically it's one that you can have a conversation with on your website. So basically, you'd have that conversation, and that information is spun round into the customer simulator, and that customer simulator grows in its knowledge of your market, what you're doing, and the things that the questions that they're asking, and the simulator becomes your avatar. So then you can then what you do is you launch marketing plans or marketing creatives at that avatar. Hey, what do you think to this? I want to talk about a webinar that's going to give them the magic number for them to have before they retire. You think I want that? It's the avatar starts to give you grief. You really think I want that? No, I want this instead. And I think that's one of the things that you can. So there are tools out there that you've never had before, but I think the tool that you use right at the beginning is exactly the right tool, which is you sit and you have a conversation, you have a Zoom conversation with a number of people, even the ones who didn't. They maybe they gave you their information but didn't show up. You would call them and say, hey, do you have 5 minutes? You have half an hour? I want to ask you a few questions. because I think I can come up with something that might be of benefit to you. And I then go from there. And I genuinely think you, Kevin's right, is got a good eye for these things. But I think you can do that. And I would look at it this way. Get your 50 people so you're happy. And then get your 51st version, which is your online webinar, come whatever it is. So it's your 51st. You're not going to do a 52nd. It's your 51st state. So basically think of it that way. And I think you'll end up delivering it. I really do. But focus on the business you've got, but do all the other stuff to deliver your 51st state. Anyway, that's the end of the marketing lesson. But honestly, Lisa, Kevin and I have been really exercised by you. And I know that we have to draw this to a close because it's getting to the point where my tea will be on the table before too long. And I can't be missing that. So I just wanted to say a big thank you. You've been a really good, entertaining, lovely guest on the Next 100 Days podcast. Thank you.
Graham, we didn't talk very much about financial advice, financial products at
No.
all. We didn't talk about the thing that Lisa sells. But I think what came over there was the need, even if you're enjoying life in big corporate, if there's a passion there, if you're missing out on stuff, you've really got to go in and follow that passion and get to a place where you really believe you're adding value and following your purpose. And that to me was that what came over in spades about Lisa today. She is following her purpose and she's really enjoying doing it.
And, I know we both would want to wish her every success and every wish for her to do well. Good people deserve to do well. So let's hope she takes your advice, Kevin, and she runs with it. And if she doesn't, she's going to be a brilliant advisor to 50 great people. So at that point, I think I've got to draw things to a close. I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.